begins on page 219. O Lord, open my lips.
With trumpets and sound of the horn.
644, The Church's One Foundation. You may be seated. Shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. but with toil and labor we work night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when you see these things, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Common Responsory, page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love my
from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Signs. Today's gospel text is filled with signs. Signs are a form of communication. And for signs to communicate, there has to be a uniform understanding of what any particular sign means. In our text, Jesus tells us what the signs mean, what the signs portend for the future. The narration of God about the signs in the heavens and on the earth ought to make these signs the most universal of all languages. But alas, the people of this world don't see these signs for what they are, the communication of God. The people of this world reject the redemption found in Christ our Lord, so they can't see what Christians see, that all signs point to redemption in Christ. Many of the signs given aren't pleasant, but point forward to a pleasant end. The destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and of Jerusalem itself pointed forward to the eternal temple of Christ's body. The outwardly beautiful stones of the temple were admired by many people. The massive white foundation stones of the temple were called wonderful and noble. And the adornments of the temple purchased by the offerings of rich patrons, the tapestries, the golden and bronze doors, made people awestruck. But when some brought this to the attention of Jesus, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." This had to be quite a shocking statement for those who heard it. Why and how would this happen? Destruction would come upon Jerusalem through Rome's army, because the people rejected Christ. They did not know the time of their visitation by the Son of God. Jesus had previously told the Jews, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Even the disciples didn't recall until after his death and resurrection that Jesus was talking about the temple of his body. Christ was rejected by the Jews, put to death. This is the sign of Jonah, that the Son of Man would die and after 3 days rise from the dead. And Scripture would be fulfilled. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. While the Jews saw beauty in the stones of the temple, they saw no beauty in Christ, the cornerstone. But in the sight of God, he is chosen and precious. The temple was made obsolete by the body of Christ. His body is the temple. Where he is, there is the glory of God.
where he is, there is the sacrifice for the sin of the people. There is no longer a need for a physical temple built of stone. Christ is the cornerstone, and we are living stones built upon him. The body of Christ is a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for what he gives us through his body, the church. The washing of regeneration and resurrection to life in the font of holy baptism for all who believe on his name. Faith to receive the forgiveness of sins in holy communion. The fellowship of the saints which builds us up in Christian love. Christ is present in all these gifts. Now, Jerusalem was a walled city, a place people thought was secure. But Jesus prophesied this sign: when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. The Romans encircled and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Instead of a place of security, it became a place of death. The historian Josephus states that more than 1 million people died in Jerusalem, and nearly 100,000 were taken captive. The suffering of the people and the devastation of the city was nearly unimaginable. It's why Jesus said, "Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people." The signs of the temple and of Jerusalem both say dead end. Jerusalem was a picture of the law. The simple demands of the law seemed to offer security, but end in destruction, death, because we are unable to do them. But Jerusalem and its death was followed up by Christ in his death and resurrection. In this gospel, the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins began from Jerusalem and spread throughout all the earth to Jew and Gentile alike. Where the body of Christ is, there is a city of refuge for sinners, those who recognize their failure to keep the law. The body of Christ is the eternal temple and the holy city, a place of life secured by the eternal sacrifice of his blood. Jesus Christ is our redemption, our bulwark, our unassailable wall against all assaults of the devil. And Jesus promised his disciples the assaults of the devil would come. But he also made a greater promise. The endurance of persecution points forward to life, redemption in Christ. Jesus tells his disciples, "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake." And so it happened. Peter and John testified before the council in Jerusalem. The apostles were arrested and put in prison for teaching and healing in the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul testified before Felix the governor and Agrippa the king. All of these events were just as Jesus says, opportunity to bear witness. And not a witness of man's intellect, but a mouth and wisdom from God, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Persecution is a mark of the Christian church throughout the ages. In 110 AD, as a prisoner of the Roman Empire, Ignatius of Antioch was ground by the teeth of wild beasts as God's wheat.
Ignatius was hopeful to be proven as purebred, a sacrifice to God, like the showbread of the temple. In 1537, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther stood on God's word against the power of an erring Roman church. In 2015, the waters on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea were awash in blood as 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians were killed for their confession of Christ. In 2019, Päivi Räsänen and Bishop Juhana Puhala of Finland faced criminal charges for publishing that God's word says homosexuality is sin and marriage is between a man and a woman. The Lord only knows what persecution you may face for speaking God's word as truth. But don't be surprised when it comes. Jesus says this persecution may be fatal, and some of you they will put to death. Jesus plainly lays out these signs for his disciples. He says, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death for indicting the Jews for the murder of the righteous one. As the enraged crowd gnashed their teeth at him, Stephen saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, ready to receive him into heaven. Death is not the end for the saints. Death is the entrance door to eternal life for all who believe on his name. Jesus told them, "But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." As Lutherans, our rich hymnody gives us endurance through persecution and points forward to redemption in Christ. In Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," we find this line, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth." The kingdom ours remaineth is simply another way to say, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. But whether we die from persecution or live to the last day, we should always be prepared for the return of the Son of Man. The signs in the heavens and on the earth point to the return of the Son of Man, our redemption. Jesus says, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." The signs given by Jesus, which come in the last days, are very similar to the signs given prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Terrors and great signs from heaven. Prophet Joel writes, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke." Jesus says, "The very powers of the heavens will be shaken." It's as if the entire fabric of the cosmos is being pulled apart, tearing. The sun is dark as sackcloth, the moon is blood, and the stars of the sky falling to the earth. Jesus gives these signs, and they are a surety. There will be turbulence before all land before the judgment seat of God. The captains and false prophets of this world light up their fastened seatbelt signs and try to assure terrified people all will be well. But all will not be well unless people repent and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of Man and Son of God. And we, the church, are not called upon to buckle up and put our heads between our legs in a crash-ready position. No. We are called upon to move about the cabin of this earth, telling people these signs are calling the world to repentance. that the Son of Man is coming to save all who believe in him, that this promise is for them too, for all who call on the name of the Lord. In the midst of chaos and fear, we, by faith, are to straighten up and raise our heads, knowing our redemption is drawing near. Jesus says the signs and time leading up to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem were but the beginning of birth pangs. The destruction of the temple was an event of the last days, but we are told it was not immediately the end. A further span of time would come after. We live in that time today. Jesus says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. The Mongol conquests of Genghis Khan, the world wars of the 20th century, and the war in Ukraine today all illustrate the words of our Lord. And we've almost become accustomed to seeing on the news the aftermath of large earthquakes in many places around the world. There have been famines in Ireland and China and North Korea and parts of Africa which have taken the lives of millions. Millions more have died from bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, and COVID-19. The signs Jesus speaks about in our text are observable throughout history and even today. Distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. How quickly we forget. Hundreds of thousands of people died in 2004 and 2011 when tsunamis swept across Indonesia and Japan. The signs are all around us. So let's not be surprised when they happen and disrupt the cushy lifestyle that we're accustomed to. A house to live in, electricity, natural gas for heat, food and water readily available, and no war in our land. All of that could change in a moment. In the midst of these signs in the heavens and on the earth, life goes on. Jesus says in Luke 17, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People will eat and drink, get married, and live life as if the signs around them mean nothing. And how about us? Are we so busy eating and drinking that we forget about the living bread that came down from heaven? Are we so busy with the cares of this life that we neglect the word which prepares us for the next? Are we so busy looking down at our glowing rectangles that our eyes rarely look up in anticipation of the coming of the Son of Man? The signs of our redemption are at hand. Let us be watchful. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Your Savior and Lord is coming to redeem you, his church, from this earth. As we sang in the hymn of the day, through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious will be the church at rest. Our longing eyes will be blessed to see the coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with power and great glory. All signs point to this day of redemption, a redemption secured by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you. To him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit be glory forever. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand to sing the Te Deum, page 223. Thank you. stand for prayer, the Kyrie on page 227.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father,
Straighten and raise the heads of your people to look for the resurrection at the last day, and to live and endure in hope, since our redemption draws near. Sustain your children in every affliction, especially Candy Narmody, Lindsay Shem, Kate Coffey, Jay Gallagher, Scott Miller, Tim Anderson, Lupe Sepulveda, Greg Wells, Jennifer Weber, Lacey Dickerman, and Mike Schultz. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, give us repentant hearts that we would eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and to proclaim joyfully his death until he comes in glory. Lord, in your mercy, as the days pass and all things move to their appointed end, keep us from being complacent. Keep us alert and awake, so that when the day comes, we may greet the Lord and rejoice in his eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Thank you.
Yeah.